This is episode 393, dated Monday, June 2nd, 2025.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sports Roundtable. My name is Bob Branco. Great to be here. This is episode 393, dated Monday, June 2nd, 2025. Let me introduce the panel members that we have on our program thus far. We start out with Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon, good evening from beautiful downtown Pasadena, California. It's 78 degrees and sunny, and it's summer is approaching. Yesterday was warm and muggy, but it could have been a better day. I was at the Dodgers game, and we lost to the hated Yankees. But otherwise, the weather's fine, and everything's good here.
We're in the 60s, partly sunny, breezy, but it promises to warm up dramatically. By the middle of the week, it should hit 80+. Might hit 90 in Boston by Thursday, by the way. Don Wardlow.
Yep, it's a beautiful weather day in Jersey, same weather you're getting. And Bob, when you have a chance, I'd like to spend a couple minutes talking about my alma mater, who just was in the Division III World Series.
All right. Reverend Michael Garrett.
And welcome from 90 degrees, partly sunny, very humid, and light, warm breeze in Missouri City, Texas.
Luther King will be here eventually. I was just told that he'll be a few minutes late. Peter Altschul as well, but I'm sure when they arrive, they will let us know. In the meantime, let me thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer. Thank you very much for what you do. Same goes for our media outlets, and as well as Jacqueline Sylvia of JS Web Solutions, who archives our shows on my website. All you have to do to find those programs is go to www.brancoevents.com, arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcasts, click on them, and you'll be able to pick out which show you want to see from most of our archives. And as Peter would say, merci, Jackie. I want to say hi to Trish, our facilitator for today's show, as well as Brad. He is our streamer for today's show, so let me give out my email address for those people who are listening on the stream. It is bobbranco93@gmail.com. That's bobbranco93@gmail.com. We have a guest on today. It's somebody that's been on our show once in the past. His name is Arthur Haynes. Now, Arthur was affiliated with the Chiefs Radio Network, and he's about to finish his career with the Missouri State Bears. So I just wanted to update our listeners. I had no knowledge of these updates until Arthur came on the podcast prior to our airing it just now. So Arthur, welcome to our program, and I guess I can safely say welcome to retirement.
Well, thank you, Bob. Greetings from Springfield, Missouri, where it's 83 degrees and sunny. We've had an awful lot of rain in April and May, but kind of drying out now and looking forward to the summer. And yeah, we are winding up the career. I've done 44 years in Missouri State sport. My broadcast is going to be the home football opener in September against SMU at Missouri State. This is the first year the Bears have been in FBS football, making the move up. And incredibly, the first home game is against my alma mater, SMU. My first broadcast was an SMU basketball game in 1976 when I was a senior in college. And my last one's going to be an SMU football game against the school I've covered for 45 years.
Well, the best of luck to you.
Thank you. And you get to make a trip out to Los Angeles to the Coliseum. I just confirmed my alma mater, USC, is hosting Missouri State on August 30th.
I'm going to try to make that trip. I'm not broadcasting the road games anymore, but go out there and experience a game at the Coliseum?
The Coliseum is wonderful. I've spent a lot of money in the last 10 years refurbishing it, and it's still a great place to see college football.
Oh. Now, Arthur, your time with the Chiefs Radio Network is also up, but I'm sure that you've learned a lot about the Chiefs and their playoff experience and their Super Bowls and Patrick Mahomes and a lot of other aspects of the football team. So what do you think's going to happen moving forward? I know you're not going to be involved directly, but I'm sure you're going to follow them. I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah, I've been 16 years with the broadcast, doing the pregame, postgame, and halftime on the radio network, which is the largest in the NFL. Obviously, they were done in the Super Bowl by lack of protecting the quarterback. That's also what did them in the 2020 Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. And they took some steps to fix that. It worked for a few years, but the house of cards collapsed against the Eagles. So to that end, they drafted Josh Simmons out of Ohio State with their first round pick, an offensive tackle, and also brought in Jalen Moore, a tackle from the 49ers, who'd been the backup to Trent Williams. So not a lot of experience starting, but those are two guys now that might move in and be the starting tackles this next year. They traded Joe Tooney to the Chicago Bears, and that was a big loss, but they had to do so for salary cap reasons. Think they can fill the left guard spot he vacated with Kingsley Suamatia, who was high draft pick a year ago out of BYU, and he floundered at left tackle, but he might be all right at left guard.
I was listening to, or I was reading an article just a few minutes ago about the top 10 teams with rosters built for a Super Bowl, you know, possibility. And the Chiefs were ranked number 4 with the rosters. And so the writer reviewed the offense and the defense. And my question would be, what do you think of the defensive players that the Chiefs have? Can they stand up again?
Well, I mean, the defense was the strength really the last 2 years, and most of them are back. They kept Nick Lofton, the defensive captain linebacker. Of course, Chris Jones is the anchor of the defense. They did,
yeah.
For cap reasons, they had to give up Justin Reed, a safety, and that will hurt. But they've managed to plug and play at some of these positions before. George Karlaftis, draft pick from Purdue 2 years ago, has performed very well, just getting better at defensive end. So I think the defense is going to be fine under Steve Spagnuolo.
Wonder who the three teams are that are ranked higher than the Chiefs as far as Super Bowl rosters are concerned, Mike.
Arthur, if you don't mind, I'd like to say I'm one of this crew who's totally blind, and football is quite a difficult job for a broadcaster to make it so a blind person can follow it.
Yeah.
And you've been working with a guy who can do that and who does it. I don't hear him on a regular basis by any means. Mitch Holthus, he's something special when it comes to doing football. I put him up there with Marty Glickman and with Marv Albert.
And Gil Santos.
Mitch is fantastic. He's been doing the Chiefs for 31 years. He's got such a passion that comes out in the broadcast, but I mean, he does his work, practice, film room. You know, sometimes he gets a little too into the weeds about the play calling and things like that and the formations, but that's because he knows them inside and out. And yeah, the greatest compliment that you can pay a broadcaster is that you can see what's going on in your mind based on script. And that's especially true of someone who's sight impaired. Which depends entirely on what they hear from the broadcast.
As one who has played fantasy football since long before it became popular, I've been playing in a fantasy league since about 1980. I'm interested in what the Chiefs are going to do with their running game this year with Pacheco and with Elijah Mitchell. Is it going to be a running back by committee?
Well, Kareem Hunt, they still have Kareem Hunt, who's been there.
And Kareem Hunt, yeah.
He was their leading rusher last year after they picked him up. So, Yeah, it's committee. Hunt will be the lead guy, but Pacheco, of course, was a Super Bowl feature back before, and he's still quite functional. So I think they've got a pretty good committee of three there. The wide four, though, is stacked with, you know, you're going to get Rashi Rice back from injury, Xavier Worthy going into his second year. He was great as a rookie. Hollywood Brown, healthy from the start, brought back Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, he's a, you know, fourth wide receiver type, but they're really good in the wide receiver room.
Arthur, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? I'm sorry, Mitch, I'll let you ask your question that
all
I have.
Right. Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I was very, very sad last year. I picked up Hollywood Brown in the middle rounds. And of course, shortly thereafter, he was injured. So,
on the first,
I'm a Hollywood Brown fan. I hope he's healthy.
Yeah, hopes. And he came back pretty healthy at the end of the season. So now he's had a full off season. He should be fine, we hope.
Yep.
Arthur, what are your thoughts about what's going to happen in 2028 with this flag football Olympics where some of the pros might join it? There seems to be a lot of controversy about this.
Well, I think that's being driven by the push for women's flag football, which is becoming increasingly popular. But I don't know. I mean, men's flag football, fine. It's kind of like baseball players playing in the World Baseball Classic and, you know, running the risk of injury from their real job. And I mean, you don't get hurt playing flag football, I don't guess. But I'm kind of skeptical about this.
Well, the World Baseball Classic is fine with me. I just don't like when they play it. They interrupt spring training, and they make the players go fast-paced before they're ready. That's why I don't like to have the Baseball Classic in March. I'd rather have it in November.
Yeah, that would make more sense, really would.
But as far as the flag football thing, you're right. I don't think anybody should be injured in flag football. It's not nearly as physical as the pro game.
Right.
Of course, there's a lot of speculation that the pro game is more watered down than ever before for all the new protection rules.
You could pull muscles, though.
And the problem is there are an awful lot of football injuries where a player has done nothing more than plant a foot in the ground to make a cut and tears ligaments or tears a knee or tears an Achilles. So yeah, you can get injured playing flag football, you know, just as easily by making the wrong move or having your spikes catch.
Yeah,
those injuries you described certainly can happen in another situation. You're right.
Reaching to make that wonderful catch and, you know, you twist and turn your body, you know, that could hurt a quarterback.
Competitive,
trying to pinpoint.
Even in flag football, they're going to want to, you know, dive for a ball or do their best to make a play.
Right.
So the OTAs have started, as we all know. And one of the biggest stories that's coming out of them, is the Stephon Diggs saga. Not that I want to spend too much time on it, but is this the media hype all over again, or is this something to this?
Maybe something to it. I mean, I've always liked Stephon Diggs. I was glad when he left the Bills because he was such a good player for them when they had those battles with the Chiefs. But yeah, there may be a fire with the smoke.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame because the Patriots have been longing for a, for lack of a better term, a stud wide receiver. And we have a brand new coach now, Mike Vrabel, who's a lot more professional than Gerard Mayo would have been.
Yeah.
And now this happens.
Bob, I just finished reading an article in Pro Football News or whatever it's called. And they're going to have an impossible time proving anything. It was a video. The last I heard, cocaine isn't pink. It's white.
Yeah.
And it's a pink powder. So they'll, you know, unless they can get a sample of it, they're never going to know what it is.
So why are they concluding that it's cocaine?
Well, they're not. But what are they going to nail him on? The only thing they could name him, I mean, He's over 21. If he wants to have a bunch of ladies on his boat, that's him. It's stupid.
That's fine.
They've taken pictures, but what are they going to, the only thing they could nail him on, it would be drugs.
Yeah.
This is all blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all blown out of proportion. It's not going to go anywhere. The Patriots would be crazy to cut him on something like this.
Like Pac-Man Jones used to say, there's nothing wrong with going to the script club.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with back to the Chiefs, Kelce's going to come back for another year. Mahomes has all those weapons, and he didn't have was his lack of production, you think, due to lack of protection, or has he hit the peak?
No, I don't think he's hit the peak at all. He's 30. He's got good years in front of him and has stayed relatively healthy. He's had the ankle issue, of course, off and on, but I think injuries in the receiving core and the lack of protection were the main issues last year. When he has time to throw, he's still pretty accurate.
And what about Kelce?
This would be his last year. I'm surprised he came back. I think he only came back because of the poor showing in the Super Bowl and one more shot at it to get his fourth, but I think this would be his last year.
Michael, I believe it was you who said that the Chiefs were the fourth highest ranked roster that has Super Bowl potential. I'm just curious who the top three are.
If I remember correctly, Bob, I think it was Philadelphia, Baltimore.
Buffalo, maybe?
Buffalo was in there. Buffalo, I can't remember if Minnesota was five. Yeah, but yeah, I think it was Buffalo.
Yeah, I was going to say Buffalo and Philadelphia would make sense.
Yeah.
Baltimore was ranked high, too.
Yeah.
I have an off-the-wall question for our guest. Pat Mahomes' father played Major League Baseball. Maybe 5 years ago, he was involved, I guess, in a hit and run that ended up, I think I remember, somebody was killed. And being in the state of Texas, where they don't mess around with stuff like that, right, Michael? I think he was sent to prison. Do you know anything as a follow-up to what's the situation with Mahomes' dad?
I don't think he's in prison now. But I'm not sure. I'm really not. I mean, I remember when he played for a number of teams and, of course, Texas Rangers locker room when his dad played for them. But I really don't know about Pat Mahomes Sr.'s status right now.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious.
He was a good pitcher for a while.
He was.
So, Don, you wanted to take 2 minutes. And maybe Arthur has a comment on this as well. You wanted to take 2 minutes on your alma mater.
Yes, I did. I went to what was then Glassboro State College, and it has since changed its name. It's now Rowan University, and I learned to broadcast there, and I took that to the minor leagues where I was for 12 years. And the team, the baseball team, the Rowan Profs, just finished their run in the Division III World Series. That they've been there. They were there in 2021. They lost the only two games they were there. This time, they lost on Friday. It's a double elimination, and they won two games yesterday to continue into into Monday, and there were only four teams left. There are three teams left. The Profs were one of them. Their opponent, Whitewater, was another one, and the winner of the other bracket was Messiah College of Pennsylvania, and Whitewater will now play Messiah because Whitewater beat the Profs today. But this was the best showing by the Profs since before my own time, 1979, when they won the national championship at Division III. They've been in the World Series. They've usually gone two and out, but this time they won a couple of games in there, and they were right in it until the bottom of the seventh in a game they ended up losing 17-4. 12 of those 17 runs they gave up in the last two innings when they just plain ran out of pitching. But I have never been so proud that I graduated from Glassboro State, which is now Rowan, and the radio broadcasters as well as the players really stepped up in the playoffs. And I'm proud that I learned my trade on WGLS.
Good for them.
Go ahead.
I said good for them. I'm sure the profs have a very cerebral pitching system, don't they?
Yeah. You know, the school has the nickname because back in the day they were a teacher's college.
Uh-huh.
That's how they got to, in fact, they were originally the professorial owls in the day before there was radio broadcasting of college baseball. And by the
mouthful,
by the time the station came in, they dropped the name owls and they dropped the word professorial and they just were the profs.
We're talking about Division III, Division II football and teams moving up as Missouri State has done. One of my rants has been, and I'm saying this as a USC alum, but I think NIL is doing terrible damage to mid-majors, lower division football, as well as Division II and III, because even if they manage to get somebody who turns out to be a star, somebody in the Division I ranking or you know arena is going to offer a money and they're going to leave and I'm a college football old timer and I just think that it's great for the athletes I suppose but I don't know that it's that good for the schools at all levels other than maybe the top 20 or 30 that can you know, have deep pockets. What are your thoughts about it, having been connected with a Division II team up until this year?
Well, Missouri State was FCS in football.
Then yeah, FCS. I always forget. That's FBS and FCS, yeah.
So that's the one sport that divides. Missouri State's been Division I in everything since 1982, and then football, FCS. So it's just a half move up to the top, but you're absolutely right. I mean, I think it is very bad for the programs and particularly, like you say, those that aren't the deep pocketed programs with lots of conference TV money to distribute. Now, Missouri State baseball is a program that has long been able to go head to head with Missouri and Arkansas and Oklahoma State and teams in this immediate area and do just fine. They beat Arkansas this year and Arkansas, of course, is still going in the NCAA tournament, but ultimately, you're going to lose, like you say, some of your top players are going to be lured away by NIL money. But we're already seeing that in the other sports. Of course, it works both ways, and you're able to get some people that drop down from a higher school for more playing time. But it's an intrusion on the sport. I think it's bad for the sport. Yeah, it's probably good for the players, their freedom of movement, and to make as much money as they can while they're in college. But it's really bad, I think, for college sports in general.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, I have an ironic story. You know, my school, University of Texas, took a guy from the University of Texas San Antonio, probably one of their best players. He's a rush defensive end. Guy's a really really good player. And, you know, he had a good season last year. But ironically, in baseball, one of the games, we only lost 11 games in the regular season of baseball. And one of those games was to UTSA.
Yeah.
And who then UTSA knocked us out of the World Series.
Right. So. Yeah. Well, karma. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
I know Longhorns had a baseball logo made saying the University of Texas at Omaha.
Yeah.
A little presumptuous and not accurate as it turns out.
True. I I still have my 2005 championship t-shirt though.
Oh yeah. That was a great, great game with USC.
Michael, do me a favor, my dear friend. Now, don't ever wear that in my presence, please. I still haven't quite gotten over that, and Michael and I are very dear friends, and we don't talk about that.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed it, Mitch.
I'm sure you did. Sure. What was really bad, aside from the loss, is when I went back to work the next day. Luckily for him, he was not on my staff, but there was a fellow in our office who was a Texas graduate, and I had to listen to his nonsense all week.
I bet.
So
Arthur, what is your most memorable Missouri State win and Kansas City Chiefs win?
Well, Kansas City Chiefs win would be the first Super Bowl they won at the end of the 2019 season. You know, they hadn't won a Super Bowl at that point in 50 years. And so it was quite the end. I've been a Chiefs fan all that time and been on their broadcast since 2008. So that was a culmination of a lot of years of building up to that with Andy Reid that started going on the right path in 2013. For Missouri State, there have been so many of them. Probably when the basketball team went to the Sweet 16 in 1999, Steve Alford was the coach, and they beat Tennessee by 30 in Charlotte. We went to New Jersey and played Duke in the round of 16, and it was a close game at halftime. Duke ended up winning by 17, lost to UConn in the finals, but a lot of future NBA players on that Duke team, and it was quite surreal to see them on the floor with the Bears.
Did Missouri State used to be known as Southwest Missouri State?
Yeah.
Or got a different school?
After a long and bloody political battle, got the name changed in 2005. And only this year did they get the right to offer more terminal degrees in various disciplines. And every time the University of Missouri fights us in the legislature. But they were able to. It's quite a story in 2005 how it went down. There was a midnight call that the governor, who was from Springfield, where Missouri State's located, he woke up the chancellor at MU in the middle of the night on the last night of the legislative session where they were filibustering, and he said, "You need to have your boys sit down on this filibuster. It would be better for your appropriations next year if you did." And he said, "Well, I'd have to call my board of curators." He said, "Wake them up." So he did, and they were awakened, and they voted to have him sit down, and he did, and it passed 29-5. So that's how we got the mention.
Are you well, talking? Sorry.
Well, the reason I ask is that way back in the deep dark recesses of my memory, the Rams had an offensive lineman from Southwest Missouri State. He may have been the center, and I'm talking about 50s or 60s, and I can't remember the guy's name, but I do recall the Rams had a player for several years who went to that school.
Boy, and that would be even before my time, but
yeah, well, yeah, I can't think who it was, but I suspect if you have access to some old Missouri State archives, you might find it. But I believe he was an offensive lineman for us for a bunch of years.
And you know, in more modern times, in 2001, Southwest Missouri State had Jackie Stiles, who in women's basketball broke the NCAA record for scoring. And the broadcaster the night she did that was a guy named Matt Willicky for the Creighton radio station. I never did find a broadcast by the Southwest Missouri people.
Isn't it still the same guy that's still doing it now? Cause yeah, I think he's been around art as long as you have or close to it, right?
He's been doing 1995. So yeah, Tom, I have the call of that. But Tom Ladd did that and he is still the Lady Bears announcer.
That's what I thought because I know he does, he helps you with the scoreboard. Well, he did help you with the scoreboards and would join you, I think, on occasion.
On the baseball. Yeah, Missouri State game days.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy from Creighton made sure I knew about that. He was going to be our intern when I was with the Charleston River Dogs.
Are you talking about the current guy that's doing Creighton now and who does Westwood One for the men's for the College World Series, John Bishop?
Definitely not. Matt Willicke.
Okay.
Matt Willicke never had a shot. You know, once we got done with him that first year, he left the broadcast. Yeah, but he did call Jackie Stiles, you know, scoring and breaking the record. And that was a part of his resume when he joined us.
I don't even know who's doing the Creighton women's basketball games now, to be honest with you. I don't even know because I don't even think if they have a broadcast, I don't remember it because I know Creighton's on 1620 the zone and 101.9 the keg. I know for men's basketball.
Jackie broke the record. They stopped the game, dropped a banner down out of the scoreboard. They had brought back the woman from Jackson State whose record she broke. She was in attendance to be there for the ceremonies. And yeah, it was quite a deal. I well remember that.
What are you going to miss about not being, you know, cause I know you retired from doing Missouri State and the Chiefs broadcast. I know they're looking for a pre and post game host, I think now, but when you were doing both of those, what were the biggest things that you enjoyed and what were the biggest things that you're going to miss about those now that you're no longer doing Missouri State or the Chiefs anymore?
Well, working for the Chiefs radio network was the most gratifying thing in my career in that Dan Israel was our executive producer and he had been with the Chiefs longer than Mitch Holthus going back to 1990. He always insisted on high quality of everything that the network put on the air. He wanted to sound the very best that it could. And he would do what it took to make sure that happened. So I was so impressed with the commitment to excellence with Dan. So that was a great thing in my career.
And he's still there, I think, isn't he? Dan Israel?
Passed away.
Oh, man. Oh, okay.
Your battle with cancer.
Wow.
Go to the Super Bowl in February and passed away in March.
Mm. Wow.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Well, I was reminded, I got to tell a quick story. Several years ago, when I was president of the American Council of the Blind, I was invited to the Kansas State Convention, and the hotel was across the street from where the Chiefs play. And it's Sunday morning, and I'm checking out, and I worked a guide dog at the time. And I'm in line to check out, and this fella in front of me turns and obviously got a look at my yellow Labrador retriever, and he said, "You know, it'd make a right good hunting dog." I can tell I'm in Kansas now.
Yeah, at least you weren't like Dorothy and Toto. At least you were in Kansas at that time.
You didn't go to Oz now, did you, to see the Wizard?
No. But
hold on.
I'll always remember that story at that hotel.
If he saw the Wizard, he'd probably have to go down the Yellow Brick Road. But I don't think he'd have to worry about that.
There you go, Luther. You're absolutely correct. I would like to turn our festivities over to our participants. We have people listening to our show who may want to ask Arthur Haynes a question. So let me ask Trish if we have any hands raised for that occasion.
I do not see any hand. Oh, we have a hand.
Okay. Who is it?
Robert Acosta. Go ahead.
Robert from California. Good afternoon.
This has really been great today. And Arthur, you're obviously a great credit to your profession. And I'm going to ask a question a little off topic because I know your only team is the Chiefs. But what chance do the Chargers have this year? Are we going to lose again to the Chiefs and blow it like we do? What are the Chargers' chances this year to do some great things?
Well, yes, they are going to lose again to the Chiefs. But
that's my question.
The Chargers have just been knocking on the door, as you know, for so long. And it was kind of amusing there for a while. We called them next year's champions because every year they were anointed. This is the year. This is the year. And it's always been the Chiefs' year. So one of these years it will be the Chargers' year, but I don't think it'll be this year.
Hey, Art, can I ask you one question?
Thank you. Thank you, Robert.
When you were doing the Chiefs broadcasts, cause I know the Chargers have had, you know, their fair share of broadcasters that have been doing play by play from Hacksaw, from Hacksaw Jim. Oh, who is that guy? Hamilton to Ted Leitner to Josh Lewin.
Lee Hamilton.
Lee Hamilton to Ted Leitner to Josh Lewin and now Matt Money Smith. Why can't the Chargers keep a play by play voice? Cause they either keep bouncing around play by play voices or bouncing around different stations. And it's crazy. I've never understood.
I think it's the fragmentation of the market in Southern California, and the switching of stations probably has something to do with that. But when you get in more, I don't say LA is not a stable market, but you know, Kansas City, Green Bay, Dallas, Chicago, places like that, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, announcers tend to stay in place pretty much forever.
And then, cause I think since I've listened to the Chiefs, you guys have only been on two different stations, the Wolf currently, and then there's other station that the Chiefs were on for three decades. The Fox.
It was on the Fox from about, 1990 until 2019. And before that, they were on other stations, but it's been FM, the Fox and now the Wolf, which are with two different companies, two blocks apart from each other, as it turns out, in Mission, Kansas.
Wow. Really? And I think they have now with the Wolf, they've added the AM flagship now at 96.5, the Fan, along with 610 Sports. So now you have three flagship stations in a roundabout way.
Exactly.
Just two.
My best story about Chiefs and Missouri State logistics was the Bears were playing in the Great Alaska Shootout in Anchorage.
Oh man, the Great Alaskan, the dearly departed Great Alaskan Shootout.
So
we had to take a boat, if I'm right.
Played three games, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I had a red eye out of Anchorage at midnight Saturday into Denver and then on to Kansas City for the game broadcast. Well, I got to Denver fine, 6 a.m., clear blue skies. Flight has been canceled to Kansas City.
Right.
So I'll get on the next one. Well, it was full. So we're playing Denver and I'm in Denver, but I can't get back to Kansas City to the station for the game. So Dan Israel called his Broncos radio counterpart. They set me up at KOA in Denver, legendary station. I Ubered out to KOA, and by the time I was there, they had me connected to my station in Kansas City and I did the broadcast from there. They're down the hall doing the same thing I'm doing, only for the Broncos radio network.
I'm trying to think. That was Dave Logan, and was that? I'm trying to think. Was it Ed McCaffrey, or was Ed McCaffrey later for the Broncos? You remember?
No, I think it was Ed even then. Yeah.
Okay, because I remember Dave Logan worked with the late great Larry Zimmer.
Oh yeah.
Used to do Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah, yeah.
So speaking of Denver and that division. You were talking about the Chargers earlier. The Chargers picked up a couple of good pieces, I believe, that might strengthen their team. But Denver is in the mix for improving their roster. And so do you think Denver could give Kansas City a run for their money?
They could. They're getting there with Sean Payton.
I don't think it's going to take Denver long to get there if they keep building it, right?
Bo Nix had a good rookie year. So yeah, I think they're an up and comer in the division, which is going to leave the Raiders behind, which is where they've been for 25 years. But the other three are going to be pretty strong.
Here's a question for you, by the way. When you started doing the Chiefs, who was the coach? And when Andy Reid finally got hired up there, cause I mean, you've heard nothing but, you know, praise with what Andy Reid and that front office with the Chiefs have done. What, you know, have you observed from the best, besides the press box with Mitch Holtis and crew, with the next best seat in the house, in the studio, with a computer screen and all the blubbering town and blinking red lights and buttons?
Yeah.
From your point of view, what has made them work so well?
My first year was Herm Edwards' last year, and the Chiefs went 2-14. So they fire Herm and bring in Todd Haley.
Oh, sounds like a disaster.
Yeah, well, it ended up being, but they miraculously in 2011 won the division and got blown out by the Ravens in the first round, but that was dysfunctional with Todd and Scott Pioli. They were just at odds every day. And Mitch said the tension was incredible between them. So they both got fired, and Romeo Crennel was the interim in 2012, another 2-14. Linebacker Javon Belcher killed himself and his fiancée on the parking lot on Saturday afternoon before the game on Sunday.
Oh, I remember that story. Oh, my
Lord. So we had to react to that and obviously direct a lot of our broadcast at that the next day. It's such a terrible tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hired Andy Reid, and the rest is history. And the story is true that Clark Hunt went to Philadelphia, and Andy was supposed to fly to Arizona to interview with the Cardinals, and Clark wouldn't let him out of his office till he agreed to coach the Chiefs.
And the thing is, I think usually the best hires, you don't let, if this is accurate, because I've heard this from a lot of different football folks. If you want a guy, the one thing you don't do is let them out of the room. You don't let them leave the room without a contract signed.
Right. Right.
Now, I don't know how accurate that is, but that's what I've heard.
Well, in this case, that was what happened. And so Andy brought everybody to Kansas City with him. And of course, then they drafted Patrick Mahomes. But I mean, they went from 2-14 to the playoffs in 1 year. They were 9-0 to start the 2013 season. So just the organization and professionalism, lack of chaos that he brought, stability. And stability counts for a lot in sports and everything.
Exactly.
Arthur, can you give us some insight? I've heard bits and pieces. There's a bit of a brouhaha. Kansas City wants a new stadium, and they're concerned about
it's already failed.
Well, I was going to say, what's going on there, and where is the new stadium going to be?
Well, it's coming to a head. There was a vote, I think, in spring a year ago in Jackson County, which Kansas City sits in, to give the Royals and the Chiefs money to expand or build a new or renovate their stadiums. And it failed. Failed pretty one-sided, really. I think it would have passed with the Chiefs alone, but it failed. And so now the two teams have gone on to their own devices. Kansas has what they call star bonds, and you understand Kansas City sits right on the border, and a good deal of the population is on the Kansas side. So Kansas has the NASCAR track, and they've got a lot of land out there. They already got parking, and they're offering that as a site for one of the stadiums. I think in the end, they're both going to stay in Missouri, I think, but the Royals have taken an option on the land formerly occupied by Sprint headquarters, which merged with T-Mobile, and the headquarters moved to Seattle. And so that it's a beautiful, expansive campus on the Kansas side that could be an option for the Royals. So the Royals are looking at several different things.
I know
they are not going to stay at Kauffman Stadiums beyond 2030. They've made that clear.
It was an issue where the taxpayers didn't want to foot the bill, and I went through that when the Rams had a bond issue.
Oh.
And I was living in the city of LA at the time, and we very decisively said, no, it was Carol Rosenblum at the time, and we said, we're not going to pay. You're the one with the multi-millions of dollars. Don't saddle us taxpayers with that. And that's when they moved to St. Louis.
And if I remember correctly, Stan Kroenke, because remember, he basically told the folks in St. Louis he wasn't going to move them. Remember? And then he was able to, like, kind of like the late Jim Irsay, basically without the Mayflower trucks, basically build a gargantuan multi-million dollar facility, and now they have two teams sharing it. And by the way,
yeah,
why did the Chargers ever leave Mission Valley? Because I'm like, they
crazy
being in that stadium for them. They don't sell out at all. That's a Rams. That's a Rams stadium.
They're the visiting team.
They are the they're the weak stepsister. Yeah. More in like Los more Angeles.
Like more like the sisters. The issue, the charity of
none. Yeah, the issue with the Chargers was their owner, their ownership, and the city of San Diego. They were at loggerheads. They didn't get along. Again, he wanted the he wanted the taxpayers to foot the bill, and the taxpayers said
they said no.
Yeah, go to Blazes.
They basically said go jump, go shove yourself off the nearest pier and jump.
That's right.
Trish, sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to check with Trish to see if anybody else had.
Oh, that's fine.
We do not at this time.
All right, let us know if that changes. So, we have another 8 minutes to go.
The Jackson County vote was a no tax increase. It was the extension of an existing tax, which is paid for by out-of-towners with rental cars and hotel rooms.
Uh-huh.
And they voted it down.
Right.
And so now Missouri is coming back. The governor has called the legislature into special session this week to try to salvage some kind of an incentive package to at least to give them a Missouri option against Kansas. So the Royals have said they're going to have a decision by the end of this month, and the Chiefs won't be far behind.
Well, okay.
Will either one of those, are either one of those teams considering building an indoor stadium? I don't want to play ball in Kansas City.
In
January.
All right. Now, I don't know if this is actually going to be an option, but if they do build the new stadium, I'm thinking kind of like what the Cowboys have done and what the Texans have done. They can still play on the outside, but they have the dome over the top. So in case
they
have bad weather, they don't have to be stuck in it. But I'm
that's what they're going to do. And I mean, there, I think, is a way they could retrofit Arrowhead to accommodate a roof, very expensive, but that's the plan. The next stadium is going to have a roof on it so they can host a Super Bowl.
I'm hoping it's not going to be like the Mall of America Field Teflon roof that finally just caved in on the snow.
No.
And they basically had to demolish the thing.
Yeah, that was old technology.
That's what I mean. I'm hoping it's not going to be that, because they had a roof on it, but when that huge snowstorm came in Minnesota before U.S. Bank was online,
yeah,
they were playing inside Mall of America / the dearly departed Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome, where they had the Homer hankies and stuff, the roof finally just went.
Arthur, do you think that there's a chance, as I've been hearing this on and off, where the NFL might decrease the exhibition season even further and add another regular season game?
I think it's already down to two, I think, isn't it? Because I saw on the Titans schedule, I think they're only doing two exhibition games.
Well,
unless I missed. I think it's down to two. Okay. Three this year? Okay.
The Chiefs have three, I know. So it's still three.
Maybe I missed one, because I thought I saw two before they got in the regular season.
I don't think that's official yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to get to 18 regular season games for the money.
Of course.
Players, it's a safety issue. I mean, they've gone from 16 to 17, now 18. That's two more chances to have a career altering injury. So
like
in the end, they'll pay them off with more money.
Here's a question though. At what point, if we get to an 18th game, right? Cause you know, you're going to need more than your best 46 or 45, however many they're allowed active in the 53 man, 54, 55 man roster or whatever it is.
Yeah, 53.
When do you think they're going to actually talk about expansion of the rosters? Because if you're playing 18 games, you're not going to keep your same 53 all year long, because there's going to be injuries.
Well, you got your practice squad guys, and then, you know, there's always the waiver wire. So I don't know. That would seem to make sense to
expand. I mean, that would be my thought. It's like you would have to at least extend to about maybe three or four extra spots just in case, because if you're going to play 18 games in a 21, 22 week slate with a couple of bye weeks thrown in, you're going to need more you're going to need more active bodies, because you're not going to be able to keep the same roster.
Well, they need to change, I think, the limits on how many times you can come up and down.
I think they've started to do that because I think, wasn't it in, what was it, in COVID, I think, or something like that, where you were limited to maybe you had to have a roster designation by a certain point where you had to decide on if a player is going to be able to play or not, or if you were going to add or, you know, move him back to the practice squad. Wasn't there something put in at that point?
There is a 2 or 3 option.
I think it's three.
And what I think is going, if I were the head of the players union, I'd be saying, all right, great, 18 games. Not only do we want more money, but you have to expand the 53 man roster to maybe 56 or 58,
and the game day roster
from 45 to 48 or 49.
Wouldn't you also, instead of the 3, you'd extend it by maybe 2? So instead of 3, you may have 5, and 2 of those are like, if necessary, emergency call-ups. Like if you had an important piece that was out, say, like in a game that you had to have to make the playoffs and you needed to fill that spot, you get one of those automatic emergency call-ups just in case if need be. Cause I know with baseball now, you got guys going up and down more than twice from the AAA to the major league or from AA to the major league corridor.
Yeah, much more.
For fresh arms.
Yeah. But there is a limit. There is a limit there too.
Well, yeah, I know. I think it's 5.
And the other piece of that is once you're sent down, you have to be down for 10 days unless
it's injury related.
That's
right. Unless there's an injury. So there are restrictions.
Or my personal favorite, cause I know we're running out of time, and you may know this probably better than I do, but with, you know, players where they have no more options, where they either have to clear waivers before going back to AAA, or a team can claim him.
Right. Because
I know I think the Rangers DFA'd, I think it was Barnhart or one of their catchers yesterday to make room for somebody else because they needed a fresh arm or another, you know,
Tucker
back from an injury. Yeah,
Tucker Barnhart.
Yeah, because they had to bring up an extra pitcher. Yeah. So they were down a catcher against the Cardinals yesterday and they DFA'd Barnhart. So I don't know where, if he, you know, he got designated for assignment, but I wonder if a team can actually pick him up because they need a catcher.
Sure. If you're DFA'd, that means you're out of options and they can be claimed by another team. And if not, then they can accept or refuse a minor league assignment with you. And if they refuse, then they're a free agent.
Do you think that's something that's going to happen with the NFL? Maybe like, you know, say a team puts a guy on the injured list with a fake injury, but in truth, they want to actually release and cut him when they don't have to worry about paying his salary because he's not, you know, living up to the agreed upon obligations and they can get out of that. They can have the quickest exit ramp to find a way to get out of that player's contract. And there's no cost to the team.
I think the Players Association would intervene in case of nefarious dealings of that kind.
But you've seen it though, where the team is trying, cause the player A not living up to expectations, they want to get out from underneath the albatross of the contract, but the player association, then they have to maybe go to arbitration. Cause I remember, what was it? David Freese, I think, got an extra year because of arbitration. I think he got a 2-year deal instead of the Cardinals trying to give him for a 1-year deal, but I think he was able to get 2, but I think they were able to work it out and he did pretty well with his second year. But it doesn't happen everywhere all the time like that.
So Arthur, what are your plans for the future? I know you're retiring from both of your venues, you know, with the Missouri State Bears and the Chiefs Radio Network. And I know a lot of people when they retire, they get involved with other projects and other endeavors. So what's in line for you?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I may actually attend a Chiefs game. That hasn't happened since 2007.
Wow.
So, you know, I might do that, but
what about Missouri State? Are you going to be attending those?
I'll be at every game. Yeah. Every home game. You bet. I'll be the biggest fan. And, you know, I'm involved in several things in the community. So I'll continue to do that.
And I wonder, is Missouri State going to do the split where they had Steve Savard do football and Riggs do basketball, or is it going to be Riggs doing all of them, football, men's basketball, and baseball? Have they decided on that yet?
Steve has left the market and gone back to St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
He was with us for 4 years, and he really elevated – he was the news anchor at the CBS affiliate and really elevated that position for the Springfield size of market. But he's gone back, so Corey Riggs is going to do all the lead play-by-play.
Have they determined who's going to be working with him for, you know, football and men's basketball and baseball yet, or is that?
Well, basketball is going to continue to be Mike Keltner, who's a longtime, very well-respected high school coach, played for the Bears in the early 70s, and he's excellent.
Yes, he is.
The former baseball coach, Keith Gutton, now is working on road radio with Corey.
Yeah, I remember that when they were at, what was it, Evansville, I think, when they had to play two that day.
Right.
Wait a minute. Keith Gutton? The guy that just retired not that long ago? Yeah,
exactly.
He fits. Yeah, he fits.
And,
he's a lifer.
Football, I think Corey's going to use two different guys this year, and I'm not quite sure who they're going to be.
So how could, you know, for those of us that want to actually stay in touch with the legend, which is Mr. Art Haynes, who's been basically the Missouri State Institution. How can
we
still stay in touch with
minute.
You?
Yeah, we have 1 minute to go.
I know
go,
we have
so
a minute I, left.
Yeah. So Arthur, I just want to say good luck to you, and I'm hoping that you continue being involved with sports, particularly football and college football. We're very grateful that you came back and made a second appearance here.
I'm hoping we can bring him back.
That's sure. We welcome you back anytime, Arthur. Anytime you want to come back on,
we'd
love to have you.
This has been fun. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you,
sir. And thank you, everybody else, for another wonderful edition of Sports Roundtable. We'll be back next week, same time, same station. Thank you, and go safe with God's abundant blessings. Have a great week, everybody.